because there was this feeling of like, why should we keep trying to do these things when we fail? Like that was like, we failed, but we might as well not do anything ever again. And my thought was like, okay, that's actually how I felt during the time. But after that, when you start getting some spiritual clarity and you start praying through it, and you're like, well, this is not right. You just remember, you're like, well, we don't continue on because, you know, we're victorious always. We move toward victory. Like Christ is our victory. He won it for us. It's not the other way around. It's not like when we're victorious, then we can serve Christ. Mm-hmm. Then we can work. No. He was the victor.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jennifer.
And we're the hosts of the Marriage After God podcast. Our desire is to help you cultivate a marriage that chases boldly after God's will for your life together.
We want to invite you to subscribe to our show wherever you watch or listen.
We are so glad you're here, and we pray that our discussion truly blesses you and your marriage.
Welcome to the Marriage After God podcast.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Marriage After God podcast. We're your hosts, Aaron and Jennifer Smith.
Hello.
In this episode, we are going to be talking about how to handle things when they go all wrong before and during a camping trip, what it looks like to move forward after failure, and things for you to look forward to on a future episode. I should say future episodes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So before we get into that, make sure you hit that like button and subscribe wherever you like to listen or watch. And also, please take a moment to leave us a comment or a review. Those are so powerful in helping us to grow this show. So please don't forget to do that. If you already done it, thank you so much. You rock.
So before we get started, I would just like to say hello again.
She's back again.
I'm back again. I just feel so proud to be here because consistency. So Aaron and I talked about it recently, what's coming to the podcast. So mm-hmm. If you guys stay tuned, like you said, we're going to be sharing what's coming for you guys. So today's just going to be another update. Just thank you, Aaron, for having me. And just
this is your show.
I know.
So everyone emails me and says, hey, we love your interviews, but where's your wife at? So
I just hope people like these little updates that we like to give them. So something that I wanted to start off sharing was the last time I was on, last month, a few weeks ago, shared a little update and just shared how God's still working on me. Mm-hmm. You know, we shared a little bit about that. You can go listen to it. But
you should go listen to it, in fact.
Well, guess what? He's still working on us. Nothing's
done. Yeah.
Nothing's done. I'll say that. But during this, did we already mention that we did a road trip? Or
I don't know if we've mentioned it yet.
So I don't know if we mentioned
that we were going
to. Okay. So we did the last 2 weeks in August, we did a road trip with family and our kids. And we went to Yellowstone and we went to Glacier and Coeur d'Alene and then back. And the whole trip was 2 weeks and it was just slow and awesome and amazing. And we'll probably give you more just tidbits as we go along. But what really hit me in a really good way was the music that we got to share in the car as we drove with the kids.
Our kids love music. I don't know if you guys know this, but they're all falling in love with the music. My boys always want to listen to dubstep. And then our girls have been falling in love with
all kinds of
good music.
Really.
Yeah.
Olive is our little DJ. But this specific trip, I will say, is probably sponsored by Crowder, Forrest Frank, and Josiah Queen.
It's all we listen to the entire trip.
And the kids, you know, they're old enough to give us their preferences and tell us like what, you know, turn on this song, turn on that song. And then a lot of repeats. But Josiah Queen actually launched his newest album while we were out on the road.
I think Zion.
Yeah, it's so good. And one of his songs, it's called Slow Down, Please. Mm-hmm. The lyrics just really spoke to my heart and I was sitting there listening to it and it just reminded me of, again, how God's still working on me. So I just wanted to start with that and share some of the lyrics. It says, but he walks right in with kindness in his eyes and grace in every step. What will he say when he takes a look around and sees that I couldn't clean this mess I've made? And then he says, all the things you do for me are good and sweet, but slow down, please. All those things will always be, but sit right here. Come and see. There's not a better place to go to rest your heart and weary soul than at my feet.
Elliot was just, we were listening to this because I really love this song. Mm-hmm. I turned it on yesterday when I was praying, just listened to it while I was praying. But we were listening yesterday in the car and Elliot's like, what is this song about? I was like, well, it's actually about like the singer's saying how hard he's working, thinking that he's got to clean up everything in his life.
Later on, he talks about his character and all the things that are going wrong in his character. And he's trying really hard to, clean it up.
And can't. And then he's just like, wonder what Jesus is going to say when he walks in and just sees all my mess. Mm-hmm. And then he says, Jesus walks in and says, hey, this is all great. Yeah. Like, I love what you're trying to do for me, but why don't you slow down and just come sit with me.
Just come be with me. It reminds me of that picture of Mary and Martha and how Martha is, doing the good thing of serving and trying to prepare everything. But really, Jesus is like, what Mary's doing at my feet is the better.
You're missing out. Come sit down.
Yeah. And so that just really spoke to my heart. I thought it was really cool. And then there was another song that we played a lot by Crowder called Still. And he just says, he's working on me still, changing me piece by piece still, making me better, going to do his thing. Don't care how long it takes. So all good things. You guys should go listen. Go listen to Crowder. Go listen to Josiah Queen's new album. He has a lot of good songs on there.
He does, actually.
Yeah. I've been really inspired lately. This is just like a side note. I've been really inspired lately by all of the creativity I've seen on social media coming out with, Christian music and artists and just the creativity in people and how God's moving in them to put their hands and minds and hearts to work for his glory. It's been really inspiring to me.
And it's also, what's awesome about it is it's a whole new genre. I remember growing up, like, I listened to David Crowder when I was a kid, and now he's like, my kids are being influenced by him and just the consistency that he has in just preaching the gospel in his music. But it's really cool seeing all these young Christians, these young adults that love the Lord, using their gifts and talents in such beautiful, creative ways, powerful ways. And it's actually making waves in the world. Like, I think Forrest Frank is like one of the number one
he's really popular
hit
right
songs
now.
in the world. So praise God for that, because the more we can get the word of God out, the more we can get the name of Jesus out, I think the better.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So good. So cool. And the creativity is not just music. What I'm seeing out there, it's like design work and artistry and craftsmanship, like all over the place. And what's really cool is we were reading in Acts today during family Bible time, and the small section of scripture that you read talked about this woman named Dorcas, or Tabitha, and it said that when she, so she dies, and then all the widows and people who are mourning were...
they're coming up to Peter, who they asked to come to see her, the dead woman, and all the widows are like, widows, right?
Yeah.
Are bringing...
They brought all the garments and dresses and things that she had made them. This woman who passed away, she had made all of these things, and they brought them and were like waving them as they're weeping. And I was just caught off guard by that because I don't remember reading it before. But I thought, oh, how cool that they are bringing a significant piece of art that she created, something that she crafted.
With her own hands and heart.
To honor her presence that is not there anymore, although then it comes back. So it's just really cool.
Well, and just an encouragement for all of this in this idea of creativity and this song Josiah Queen wrote of like, Jesus isn't looking for all of the things that we can do for him so that he'll accept us and receive us. He already does. Mm-hmm. And he wants us to just be with him. But what's awesome is when we love the Lord, when you have his Holy Spirit in you, we will create. Mm-hmm. And that's going to look different in very different ways for every person. But God's given each one in the church, we've talked about this so many times, gifts. Mm-hmm. And when you love the Lord, those gifts, it's almost nearly impossible for us to not want to use those gifts for him. And what's cool about it is they often will outlast us, like something that we produce, like our children are going to outlast us. Hopefully that's the idea. Things that we create, these books that we've written, a podcast, audio, music that people, we still sing hymns from hundreds and hundreds of years ago, believers who wrote down, something that was in their heart, and they did it because they wanted to please God. They wanted to bless God and others. Mm-hmm. And so there's something really cool and powerful about creating. Not that we have to do that to earn anything from God, but it comes out of that love for him.
And it's just such a cool just expression or reflection of our own selves, our personality, but just the talent that God's given us. So if you have a hobby or you're passionately pursuing a career in artistry, we just want to encourage you to do that. But also as parents, you guys, if you are parents and you're raising kids, look for those things that your kids are interested in, whether it's drawing or music or writing or gosh, you name it. Maybe it's metalwork or wood shop. I can't even list all of them. But look, keep your eyes open and look for those things in your kids that they have just a interest in, and then give them resources to keep pursuing those things, because who knows what it will develop later on in life. I was actually thinking as we were listening to these younger guys, you know, producing this music, and I was thinking about how my kids are in piano right now, and I'm like, I wonder if God will use anything of that, you know, 20 years from now, will my kids be on Spotify or not? That's fine. I'm not pushing for that, but I'm just saying I want to keep my eyes open too.
Remember, we're typical parents and we get excited about that stuff.
I know. But my daughter, she's an amazing drawer and she's only 10, and she does these things where she practices noses and eyes and ears and things that are actually really difficult for people to draw. Yeah. And she does an amazing job on it. So I just like to keep my eyes open for things that they're crafting and interested in, and say, oh, you know, let's pursue those things, because
we're looking for people who have been blessed by this free podcast and our free daily marriage prayer emails, and who want to help be a blessing to others. Creating and hosting this podcast and sending out our daily emails do incur a financial cost, and we want to invite you to join our faithful patron team to help financially support these resources so that they can remain free for all who need them. Please join our patron team today and become one of the faithful financial supporters who desires to help bless thousands of marriages around the world. Your support will help us pay for the creation, hosting, and promotion of our podcast and daily emails. Thank you, and we hope to see you become a Marriage After God patron.
Pretty cool.
Well, and even if they're not, like, it might sound like we're saying, you know, only people that have creative talents can do these things. It's not true. Like, I think about some of our kids that are more analytical or more type A, where they can organize stuff. And like, those are beautiful things. Someone who can take something that's unorganized and make it organized, that's a gift.
Yeah.
And so I just want to say, like, just using the skills and the gifts and the talents and the resources, as we talk about in our book, Marriage After God, using what God's given us for his kingdom, for his glory.
And those things will definitely develop and be used in whatever career or, you know, whatever they pursue as adults. Those things will naturally benefit and add to whatever it is that they choose to do.
Mainly and especially if we cultivate, not just in our children, but in each other, the fact that we are to use what God's given us, whether you're a bank teller, whether you mow lawns, whether you're a mechanic, whatever it is, the Bible tells us to do all for the glory of God, all unto him. We're doing it for him. So that we had a lot of good conversations on this trip, by the way. So
yeah, lots of random, because we spent so much time in the car that it was like
lots of driving, mainly me doing the driving, because I have a big old truck and a 30-foot trailer. And so I got a little tense, but it was good to talk, because it got my mind off of the driving, which is great.
I will say, leading up to the trip was a little bit interesting, because there's a lot of work involved to get ready for a 2-week trip. If you guys have done this before, you know, to go camping, you need a pack, you need a meal prep, making sure that our house is decent when we leave too. So it was just a lot of lists and checking those
prepping
lists off.
All the things.
But that same week that I was doing all of that, we had to cancel Truett's birthday party, because he and another one of our kids got a really nasty stomach bug. And then a few days later, Edith broke her collarbone. And then the next day, I threw my back out. And that was probably just the...
This is all within a few days leading up to we're getting in in the truck and going.
Me throwing my back out was probably the hardest, just because I couldn't really care for anybody. And that... As a mom of 6, that was really hard for me.
But tell him what I went and got you at the local thrift store.
No, Aaron.
I got her a really nice walker.
But it actually helped me getting up and down.
It did help you. You only had to use it actually for like half a day, I feel like, or one whole day.
It was a little bit more than that. Was it? It was probably two days, yeah.
But that was crazy, all of the things that happened.
I didn't hurt myself so bad that, it started getting better. Like, once we were on the trip, I felt like so much better. So it must have just been like a pulled muscle or something. But something that was really encouraging is, because I told you guys I was being inspired on social media through music, I had seen Forrest Frank's video of him breaking his back, which I don't know if you guys saw that video. But as
I would imagine everyone listening is some way experienced the Forrest Frank saga.
He was So I was watching this video of him kind of replaying what happened. And there was this video of him trying to lay down on the bed and he's like crying. And then in the background, you could see his wife's hands wrapping a towel around his back to try and give him support. And right as he starts crying and weeping because of the pain, you can hear his wife weeping. And it got me like so emotional because I just thought, wow, she must be so crushed for him. But here she is trying to stand next to him to hold him up. And part of his video, he was just explaining how in those moments of pain, when he's trying to like mm-hmm. find relief or, you know, transition from laying down to sitting up, he would just focus on Jesus during those transitions of tension and pain. He would just focus on Jesus. And him and his wife later said that it was only during those moments that he didn't experience pain or like there was this mm-hmm. relief.
He had relief. From,
yeah. Yeah. So that was really, really encouraging just to see a husband and wife respond to pain in that way. So when I pulled a muscle in my back, I was like, we can deal with this. That's fine.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't break my back.
I did not break my back.
Yeah. You know, you actually recovered fairly quick from hurting your back. I was so concerned. I was like, well, we're literally sitting in the car for hours. Are you going to be able to do this?
I sent a text message out to all my girlfriends. I was like, you guys need to pray because we're supposed to go on this trip. And now I don't even know if I could sit in the car. This is terrible.
It makes me think, though, we're going to talk about something a little bit that was really difficult for us while we were on the trip. Mm-hmm. But it makes me think about that scenario of like these hard things that came up, the stomach bugs, the Edith breaking her collarbone so randomly. She like literally was just barely fell a little bit onto like a Frisbee and green stick broke her collarbone.
Oh, and then while we were on the trip, I woke up with a really bad sinus infection. So I was just in a lot of pain on my face. And then I went to go nurse the baby. And when she got up, she scratched my eye really bad. So bad that my eye didn't open for like 6 hours. And you had to take me to urgent care.
Yeah. Luckily, there was one in the middle of Yellowstone. Those are so random.
So that was crazy. What were you saying?
I was just saying
there's
like,
a lot of stuff going on.
All of these really hard things that happen. And all I could think is like, we shouldn't do this. Like, why am I literally about to get in the car? This doesn't sound fun. This doesn't sound valuable, profitable. Like, it's like, you're hurt. I'm just thinking you're not going to be able to sit in the car for 6 hours, 12 hours, whatever it's going to take.
And then help you set up camp.
And then help me set up camp. And I was like, we should just not do this. And her parents are literally in town. They rented an RV. We're about to go.
It had been planned for like 9 months.
But it kind of correlates what we're going to talk about in a little bit of these hard things and feeling like you want to quit and feeling like you don't want to move forward.
Where should our perspective
be?
Yeah.
But we did go.
Oh my gosh, it was so amazing. I think that overall the trip was so perfect in light of like weather and, you know, when you take kids of different ages into national parks and like Yellowstone and Glacier, there's so much awe and wonder. And so just driving in, it's like, oh, there's a bear. Oh, there's a baby bear. It's so cute. We saw elk. We saw bison. I mean, people know when you go to Yellowstone, you're going to see a lot of animals. And then in Glacier, it was a lot of just the massive rocks and waterfalls.
Yeah, all the things. What was cool about it is like, there's all these beautiful things that we were anticipating. There's always like weird concerns. Like I'm driving my truck that we've never towed with before. It's old. It's from 2001 and it did perfect.
Yeah.
So like there was these things that I was afraid of. And they worked out just fine.
I was really nervous about really cool. Edith's collarbone because you got the x-ray like 2 days before we left. And so I was just really nervous. But she also just was a champ. She held it together.
She doesn't know how to stop moving.
She won't stop
moving. So she would like – she does these things and then she'll like bump it. And she's like – starts crying. I'm like, Edith, you got to stop moving.
You got to rest.
Just sit down. Just stop playing. She's like, okay.
Yeah,
and then she runs off and does it again.
Yeah.
She's finally at a point where it's not really hurting her anymore.
Yeah.
But –
so she was healed up pretty quickly too.
That was crazy. What's cool about these trips, we're going to talk about recovery in a little bit. Mm-hmm. It'll make sense. But having these moments, lots of spiritual growth took place on this trip.
Mm-hmm.
And getting away and getting out, getting away from the normal day-to-day actually helps you to see those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the driving we got to do. It's actually one of our favorite things. We love driving. We've done it ever since we were first got married.
Yeah.
We drove to Florida, we drove to Washington, we drove to Canada, we drove back and forth.
I think it's my favorite time to dream with you and to consider Like, you take those honest evaluations, you look at your life, because you're staring at the window at this beautiful scenery, but then inside you just start internalizing everything. And I think it's just a perfect time to ask yourself hard questions, ask your spouse good questions.
Dream about the future.
Dream about the future.
Figure out goals that we have. Because when you don't get out of your day-to-day, and it doesn't have to be a two-week trip to Yellowstone and Glacier.
No, you could take a 30-minute drive somewhere.
Well, it could be a Friday, Saturday. Mm-hmm. Like, you could just drive to the coast. You can drive, if you're not near the coast like us, maybe you drive to a lake. But just getting in the car and being able to have that focus time, because there's nothing else going on. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just, you're next to each other. You have nowhere to go. You have, and you, it's either be quiet and you listen to music or you can talk. And we did all three various times, but we did a lot of talking, and it was actually really encouraging. We, I got to share with Jennifer some business books that I'm listening to, one business book specifically, but I've been sharing her concepts that I've been learning these, but applying them not just to business, but to us spiritually and our ways of thinking. And that was a lot of fun to talk about that. One of them was this idea of gap in the gains. I don't know if you guys have ever read the book. There's a book called Gap in the Gains. And we were talking about that. How did that concept kind of trigger some thoughts in you?
Well, it was really encouraging, because even though you're sharing from a standpoint of business and, you know, how these principles can apply to you in ministry and business, I was looking at it through the lens of my role. So motherhood and home management. And so I just felt really encouraged by my own perspectives of what I see from day to day. And I actually was convicted, because I realized that I perceive life a lot through that gap mentality of, I'm not there yet. I'm kind of like how I started this in the beginning and talked last episode of how God's still working on me. Being appreciative of living in a space where I know I'm still growing versus I hate that I'm always failing.
Yeah.
So there's just a different shift in, you know, when you view life a certain way and how you express yourself from those mentalities.
Let me share just for a minute what this idea of gap and gains means. So we all have an ideal of what we want to be, what we want our business to be, what we want our family to look like. We have an ideal. Everyone does. Mm-hmm. And gap in the gains essentially is just how you measure yourself against it. Either you're in the gap, which means the distance between you, where you're at now, and your
actualizing ideal.
Your ideal. And that's where often you would live, is like, oh, I see this ideal of myself, and I'm, oh, look, it doesn't matter how far I've come, I'm not there yet. Mm. And so that gap is always, it's a negative measurement.
Yeah.
Because you can never attain it.
It's very frustrating to see life that way.
Gains is,
look how much closer I am.
You measure yourself not from your ideal, but from your past.
So where you were compared to where you are today.
Yeah, because if I'm moving towards, let's just take it a small thing. If I'm on a diet and I want to lose 10 pounds, I could look at it and be like, oh, I have 9 pounds to go. Or I can look at me like, wow, I was eating so much worse yesterday and today I'm eating really good today. Mm-hmm. And so it's purely a way of measuring ourselves. And this is something we got to talk about a lot, because we do it in various ways.
Something that the author of this book that we were listening to had mentioned was that the ideal is not ever reached, because the ideal changes. And so in my mind, that was the first time I think I've heard that, because
I've said it in various ways in the past, but he said it just the right way.
Okay. Well, I've heard that some people say the same thing, but people only hear it from certain people. So maybe that's true. I don't know.
But that's good. It's okay. I don't mind.
For whatever reason, when I heard it, I was like, oh goodness, I've been seeing my daily life, myself, and even my children and our relationship, everything through this lens of, oh, it's not the ideal. When I measure it to our past and the growth that we've experienced, oh, we're like on the moon.
It changes your whole perspective. And because if you live in this gap mentality, mm-hmm. then you're never, ever, there is no success ever. You're always a failure only.
Yeah.
Like that song from Josiah Queen, mm-hmm. like, oh, I have all this mess. And Jesus is like, hey,
come here,
like rest with me. And this is actually a way that we can change our mindset as believers. is either we can constantly be looking at ourselves and judging ourselves against the ideal, which is Christ. He's the ideal. He's perfect. Mm-hmm. Or we can be judging ourselves against the cross, which we're told to take up our cross and follow him. Follow him. So we look back and be like, man, look what God's done in my life. Look where God has brought me. God told the Israelites over and over again, remember where I've brought you from, that you were once slaves and now you're free. And then they would look at me like, well, we're free, but now we're starving to death. And God's like, no. Like, look how I've taken care of you up until this point. Do you think I'm not going to take care of you again? Mm-hmm. So it's a constant battle that we have of not measuring our current state against this impossible future state. It's measuring where we're at against where we were in Christ, and that Christ is actually working in us, that what he has begun in us, he is faithful to complete in us, that what he has accomplished on the cross is accomplished in us, that we have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. So not only were we thinking about this in the concept of motherhood, parenting, work, spiritually as well, looking at our lives and being like, how are we measuring ourselves? Are we measuring ourselves against an ideal that is going to be constantly changing? Or are we measuring our current state against our past state? Like, oh, look, wow, we've come a long way.
Yeah.
Like, we used to be much worse in this area. We used to be much, more disorganized over here. And now we're moving forward. It's literally what sanctification is. Mm-hmm. It's a constant being, moving in the victory. Like, we're already in victory in Christ. Mm-hmm. That's what the Bible says. And then we're moving toward victory also. So these are the kinds of conversations we were having in the car.
It was funny because we'd be listening to this audiobook and every like 2 minutes we'd stop it and go, okay, so what does this mean to you? And then he'd say, what does it mean to me? And we just got to share through our own lens of whatever he was talking about, whatever principle or point he was trying to make, how that was encouraging us in that moment. And so it was really cool too.
I think the Holy Spirit was for sure using it because he was kept bringing to our thoughts like ways of being, actions, situations that have happened, dreams that we have, and like kind of like attaching them to these ideas. It was really good. We came back really excited about the future.
A practical, so we can hand off a practical to, help encourage you guys to do what we're doing to help retrain our mind or just train our minds to focus on the positive and to live in that gain mentality. Is we're writing down 3 goals every day to try and hit, 3 things that matter to us that are important. And at the end of the day, taking time to actually acknowledge, hey, did I meet those 3 goals? What am I grateful for? And that to me, we've been doing it this last week, has been so encouraging because it's helped me truly see, like you were talking about measuring yourself, like it's helped me not get distracted or bombarded by all the other things that I have going on in my life that are not accomplished yet, but to say, hey, I did a good job in these areas. And
writing down the wins is that
it's been so good.
Is that training, retraining our brains to be like, oh, let's look at that. We actually have moved forward today.
Yeah.
And even if we didn't reach an ideal, quote unquote, whatever that is, we've moved forward. We've made, and you know what? We got really convicted also because we realized that we would look at our children and the way we talk to them the same way. And we're trying to adjust that also. Even though we have an ideal for them, trying to remind them like, look how far you've come. You're doing so good.
Lots of affirmation.
Here and here and here. Yeah. Not false affirmation, but true. Like actually recognizing where they've grown and how they've matured and things that they've taken responsibility for. And I feel like we sometimes, since we do it for ourselves, we often see like, oh, they just haven't met this, expectation. Mm-hmm. They didn't clean their room good enough, but they cleaned it and they did it. They did well. And
hey friends, Aaron Smith here. Just wanted to take a moment and share with you something really special. You know, as parents, we're always looking for ways to encourage our kids' faith journey. Recently, I picked up some amazing highlighters and Bible resources from Mr. Penn as a gift for my daughter. She's been diving deeper into scripture and wanting to highlight her favorite verses and passages and wanting to jot down notes. She absolutely loves them, and they don't bleed through those thin Bible pages. Mr. Penn is all about equipping Christian families with top-notch Bible journaling kits, beautiful journaling Bibles, no bleed pens and highlighters, Bible tabs, journals, and even school supplies for us parents. Started by Christian teachers in Louisiana, they've got over 100,000 5-star reviews on Amazon, which is amazing. I love how their products make studying God's word fun and practical. And they even offer custom options for churches and conferences, plus a money-back guarantee if you're not thrilled. It's something I really love about them. Shop the best Bible journaling supplies on the market and fantastic gifts for the ladies in your life at MrPen.com. That's MRPEN.com. And guess what? Our audience gets a special discount. Use code MAG10, that's MAG10, at checkout and get 10% off your entire order. Check them out today.
So I don't know. I'm rambling a little bit, but it was really cool that these conversations were able to be had and got us talking about a lot of things.
One point that you wanted to kind of share was this idea of the importance of recovery. And I know that that inspired us a little bit to think, oh, do we do this? And what does it look like? And again, this was coming from like a business point of view, but then we were quickly encouraged to view it in light of marriage. So can you share that?
Yeah. One of the books I'm reading, it uses this idea of recovery days. Like it's talking about schedule. It's like you have your, you know, focus days and you have your, you know, practice days and you have your recovery days. And the idea of the recovery days is instead of just every day melting into another day, which that feels like life. Like we just, we're going and every day is melded into the next day. The very thing that happened when we were on this 2-week trip, that downtime, that quiet time.
That was recovery.
We have the space to be able to recover and be able to even look at our life and to evaluate the things and enjoy time and have good conversations. And so that recovery time is so important for having vision for the future and energy for the future and the strength to do the next right thing. And so
some of the things that were listed to kind of define or put parameters on what recovery days look like was therapy, restorative quality. Oh, sorry. Restorative therapy.
Yeah, so like doing things that restore your time, your energy and your mind and heart.
Quality, fun, connection, and having healthy, close relationships.
Yeah. So a good example, something that was huge when we look back in our past, because when we read these things, we're always trying to identify, like, have we done that before? What does that look like? Mm-hmm. When we were going through a hard season in our marriage early on, one of the best times that I can remember were staying up late with close friends of ours and just laughing.
Oh my goodness, playing games. Yeah.
So even though once we were done with that, we still had to wrestle with the hard things and the questions and all the things. We look back in fondness during one of the hardest seasons of our marriage early on. And it's all those moments. Mm-hmm. It's those long hours, quiet times, not doing the hard things and enjoying the company of good friends who are encouraging us, loving on us, laughing with us, playing with us. And that is recovery.
I'll add from my point of view, marriage recovery, when I think back to one of the hardest parenting times for us, I would say was when we had our third and fourth baby, because everyone was still so little and so reliant upon us. And it felt kind of overwhelming. I remember we made date night consistent. And that was the first time we really made date night consistent, where we left the kids with a babysitter and we got out and went to dinner or did something. And to me, that was recovery, because I went, you know, as a mom too, you're, you know, at home all day with the kids and you're kind of just burnt out. So being able to step away, and now our kids are older and we actually haven't made date night as consistent this last 2 years, but we still get out. And I just feel so close to you and just encouraged when we get to get out and just talk. And
I will say we should figure out how to get date night back being consistent. I when you talk about this form of recovery, it's something that Jesus needed. Like there's several times in the Gospels that says Jesus went away to desolate places to pray. He did. He needed. There was times that he's literally healing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people from morning till night, and he's just going. He's feeding people. He's doing all of these amazing things that he's supposed to do. And then he tells his disciples, "Get in the boat and go across. I'll meet you over there." And he goes off by himself. And if the Messiah, if the Savior of the world, if the God-man Jesus Christ needs these recovery moments where we're going, we're getting out of the normal, we're getting out of the day-to-day, we're getting out of the rush, we're getting out of the hard, and we're going to be alone and in prayer and in the word and in contemplation and especially doing that with your spouse. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so necessary.
So necessary. Yeah. And you talked about how he went away to pray. Mm-hmm. And I think that prayer is another form of recovery for spouses.
Absolutely.
So the times that we've, you know, just at night before we go to bed, we spend a few minutes praying together. That's recovery. That makes my heart feel so close to you and so close to God. And it doesn't matter whether I had a great day or a hard day or yeah. we're in the middle of, you know, not an argument, but like we're talking about something pretty mm-hmm. heavy. I just feel so much peace and trust that it's going to be taken care of or we're going to get through it together. And so if you and your spouse are in a mode of going and you guys need a form of recovery and you're not praying together, I would start there. I would start by either every morning or every night, middle of the kitchen, bedroom, wherever you are, just stop and take a few minutes to pray for each other.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's a good one. So something that we came up with, this was a plan of ours. We're on the trip. We're talking about all these things, having these big visions and goals that we're making, talking about how God wants to work in us, things that he wants to change in us. And we're like, man,
what's the next step?
We need like a,
what do we do?
We need like a reset. We need a reset. That's yeah. what it felt like. And so we challenged ourselves for the month of September to do a 30-day challenge. There's 30 days in September. And we're like, hey, let's
we
just
got,
take
we
September.
We got back on August 29th or 30th. 29th, so it was perfect to look forward to starting something on the first.
And so, of course, you know, you're on a camping trip. You're not eating that great. So we're like, you know, it'd be good to have some diet goals. Not that we have a specific, you know, super strict diet, but I've been having inflammation in my shoulder and like dealing with stuff. I'm like, I just need to take it serious, these mm-hmm. certain things. So mm-hmm. part of this 30-day challenge that we did for each other is food related. That's part of it. Spiritual, mental. And so on the food side of things, something that I'm taking, you guys don't have to do this. We're going to encourage you all to do this challenge with us, but it doesn't have to be exactly.
You should do
like
whatever
ours.
Works for you guys and whatever goals you have.
Yeah. That's good for you and your marriage. Mine was I needed to cut out dairy because I'm kind of slowly eliminating things to see what might be causing inflammation in my shoulder. So that's a hard thing because I love dairy. So I'm not lactose intolerant at all, but it's one thing I'm like, maybe I have some sort of, anyways, we're cutting out dairy, but.
And gluten.
And
for
gluten.
Me.
Well, because you can't even have gluten.
Yeah, I get inflamed with gluten. So.
Yeah.
But I've never cut it out for the kids too. And so. This last week I've given them whatever was left over in the house, but we're doing gluten-free as a family.
Cutting it out slowly, yeah. But more importantly than the diet part is on the spiritual side of things, we've challenged ourselves to be in the Word of God every day. So we're whether in the morning or night or whenever. And then on top of that, journaling every day. So you mentioned journaling earlier mm-hmm. about writing down some goals, writing down some wins. And faithfully I've done that. You've done that mm-hmm. for the last 4 days mm-hmm. when we're recording this. And that's a really big thing. I used to journal a lot. And it's like one of the things that with life and 6 kids and everything, I was just saying, I kind of like lost my consistency in that. Mm-hmm. And so trying to like reactivate that because it's good for my mind. It's good for my heart. Journaling. And then
we write down 3 focus goals for the next day. And then later on that night, we just kind of reflect and say, okay, how did that go?
We write down wins. Like what did we, not necessarily did we accomplish the goals, but what were some wins for the day? Mm. Like, oh, I did well at this. I had a better attitude here. So writing those down, I've been trying to write down my prayers in there and writing down scriptures that God's pointing out to me. And so getting into journaling every day, reading every day. And again, we didn't put like really strong, like we need to read 5 chapters a day. We need to journal for, you know, it's just being in the Word and journaling every day.
I will say this. It's been such a significant and it always impacts me this way. The times that we've done it and I forget. And then when I do it again, I'm like, oh, when I write down, I'm going to do this, I do it. And it was it's such a funny example, but I wrote down my 3 goals the other day. And then as like a little asterisk, like an extra, I said, if I have time, I have some lupin in the garden and its leaves have powdery mildew. Cause when we got back from the trip, our garden was exploded. It was so big and beautiful and luscious, but all the leaves on the lupin, had
only the lupin. It was so weird.
Yeah.
All got the, what is it called?
Powdery mildew on the leaves. And I just didn't want it to spread. And so I knew in the back of my mind I needed to get out there and get it. And so this particular day I had wrote it down. And I don't know how, but I carved out time to do it amidst all the other things that we had going on. Yeah. So it just reminded me, it was a good, healthy reminder that when we write stuff down, we are more intentional to pursue those things versus you have this list in the back of your mind of like all these things I got to get to. But then the day happens and you see all the things you have to get to and you're distracted. And by the end of the day, you haven't reached those few things that you probably should have focused on. Yeah. So writing it down has really encouraged me.
So we have a few other things that we have in our own personal challenge for this month. But essentially, our whole heart with it was we want to reset with our relationship with God. Not that we're trying to earn anything or work towards him. And on the contrary, I feel like what we've been encouraged with is that he's already pleased with us, that he loves us so much, that we are his. And so our hearts are like, well, I want more of that.
Yeah.
I want more of what God has for me. And something that's really convicted me over the last 4 days is I just feel like for a long time, I've been operating in my own strength and not like going to Christ for his strength, not needing God's power in me. And it doesn't work. It's exhausting actually. And so it's been really encouraging, like resting in his strength. And trying that. So we want to go ahead. Oh, I thought you were going to say something.
I know I was going to transition, but
let's transition. Go.
Well, now it feels choppy, but that's okay. I was just going to say, as inspiring as it was to have this road trip with you, and really we were given a lot of time to feel inspired and encouraged and kind of look ahead at the future and go, okay, we know what we're going to do. with such clarity.
Well, it felt so exciting. I was like, we got this. Yeah. We're going to do this.
Like, we're on the same team. This is great.
We love each other.
We really do, though. That's the thing, because we're sitting here right now telling you guys. And, like, you can see it, right? We had a day of transition from one national park to the other. And somewhere along the end of the day...
I actually think that day was, like, one of the most inspiring conversations we had.
I know.
On the way to camp.
So we pull up to camp, and honestly, like after reading my notes, I asked you, I said, what were we even fighting about? Because we got,
both of our fleshes
got in the way. But
it
must have been one of those things where he said something to me and then I got offended. But then when I responded to him, he got offended or hurt. I don't know.
Yeah.
I cannot remember what happened, but I know this. It took up that night and a portion of the next day, just because we were kind of avoiding it. We were like still trying to make it fun for the kids. And when we got to talking, we fleshed it out, but it was emotional and it was like hard. And both of us during that period of time felt bombarded by all of these thoughts of we can never move forward. All these things that we just talked about aren't going to happen. Yeah. And we didn't even realize this in the midst of our argument, but later on as we talked about it, it was like, man, that was such a bummer that we felt so inspired, so encouraged, and had such a great day, and then completely fell apart by the end of the day.
Yeah, be completely derailed by lies, the enemy, our flesh, and let it happen. And in the midst of it, actually start believing the lies like, oh, this is... Like, why move forward? Like, this isn't even worth it.
One of the things that we identified as a lie was both of us, in the midst of feeling feelings towards each other, thought, man, this one day has ruined our whole trip. And we thought it was going to affect the rest of the trip. And we were just really
frustrated. And up until that point, the trip was amazing.
It was so smooth.
Like, we were with not just our family, but like in-laws. And it literally couldn't have gone any better. And we have this 1.5 day or maybe 24 hours. Not even, maybe 12. I don't know. It doesn't matter that we're not great. And it can make you those little moments, those hard moments can, if you allow
really
the lies to come in,
you.
Will make you feel like, oh, this is, might as well not pursue any of those dreams we have because this isn't going to work just because we had this moment of failure. Mm. We were talking about this before recording and I was like, that's literally like the life of a Christian. I was thinking about every story of every human being that's written about in the Bible. That is their story. It's like, oh, look how great, I'm walking with God. And then boom, something happens and you're like, oh, Like, we were sinners.
We were reminded recently that the enemy does not like what we do and does not approve of, well, first our marriage and then us probably raising kids to know God and then and ministry. Then
encouraging other Christians like you, listeners and watchers, to grow closer to God. And
not
to
that
each
I'm
other.
Giving him the credit for us failing, but I think that there is a temptation that comes with, you know, wanting us to fail. Like, he wants
well, the
us
Bible
to fail.
Even tells us that our flesh is opposed to the things of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Like, our natural state is opposed to godly things. Does not want peace, does not want patience, does not want kindness, because those things are hard to do. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah.
So as we were driving the next day, I remember you saying something to me, and I wanted to write it down exactly how you said it. And then,
you're like, remember everything you just said? I'm like, I was like, what?
And then as I got my notes out, he was like kind of fumbling. So I want you to try and share
what he said. Because there was this feeling of like, why should we keep trying to do these things when we fail?
Yeah.
Like, that was like,
because it's frustrating.
That was your, like,
it's
we failed.
Frustrating.
Like,
yeah.
We might as well not do anything ever again. And my thought was like, okay, that's actually how I felt during the time. But after that, and when you start getting some spiritual clarity and you start praying through it, and you're like, well, this is not right. You just remember, you're like, well, we don't continue on because, you know, we're victorious always. We move toward victory. Mm-hmm. Like, Christ is our victory. He won it for us. It's not the other way around. It's not like, oh, when we're victorious, then we can serve Christ. Mm-hmm. Then we can work. No, he was the victor.
Yeah. And you said that it's not contingent on us winning.
Yeah. Like, our salvation, our relationship with Christ is not contingent on us winning. Mm-hmm. No, we need the winner.
Yeah.
And we get to glory with his win.
And then you said, when we do fail or when we do fall, it reminds us that we still need a savior.
Yeah. There's a proverb. I believe it's Proverbs that says, you know, feed me so I don't, you know, just enough so I don't have to steal, you know, and don't give me too much that I forget your name. And this idea is like, any way it goes, if I get too much, I'm going to forget you. If I get too little, I'm going to forget you. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, we need him in all of that. And so, like, we need a savior.
Yeah.
Like, you listening right now, you're probably thinking like, yeah, we fought. Like, we fight. We have issues.
He is the reason why we keep going. He's the reason why we can get up the next morning and still love each other.
Well, I remember sitting there when we were frustrated with each other, and it was quiet because I literally had no idea what to say, and I didn't know how to get out of how I felt. And I'm like in my head, and I have all this cortisol and all the things. And I just kept, I feel like God was just talking to me. He's like, there's nowhere for you to go. Mm-hmm. He's like, that's your wife. Mm-hmm. I'm like, ugh.
Hey.
But the point was, the only reason I was able to like snap out of that is because I made a promise to you. Mm-hmm. And I have a savior who made a promise to me mm-hmm. that he's going to keep. Mm-hmm. He's not going to fail on that. And that's what we do as believers is, it's not that we are perfect. It's that we have a perfect savior. And that's what's good. I just want to read some scriptures. Proverbs 24:16 says, "For the righteous falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity."
See, I read that and I'm like, cool, I can fall seven times, but what's up with this like extra times? 700 times.
That number seven is the number of completion. It's like that though we continue to fall, mm-hmm. we will continue to stand up again because of Christ. There's another scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And this is Paul sharing about the struggles that him and the other apostles have gone through. And he says, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired even of life itself. Mm. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." Mm. Like, even if we die, which is like the worst thing that can happen, he raises the dead.
So as you were reading that, I just got this phrase in my head of like, the God who raises marriages. Like,
yeah,
we can rely on
we've
him.
Seen it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He goes on, he says, "He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, that he will deliver us again.
Again.
So it's not like he has delivered us and that too bad. It. That's it.
That's all you got.
No, we need the again.
Yeah.
Every single day. And do you need it, listeners? Well, do you need the again from God?
And just to reiterate, it says, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves. And I think, like you said earlier, I was doing it in my own strength. You said that earlier.
But I was too. Like we've been trying to do, when we do it in our own strength, that's when we fall on our face.
Yeah. So we need to be reminded to rely on God and remember that he does raise from the dead. And there have been plenty of times he's raised our marriage from the depths of despair and what feels like hopelessness.
And he will continue to do that. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Aaron, you were a huge encouragement to me when we were going through that hard time. And you also did remind me that so much of life is spiritual and what we were experiencing was spiritual, like us wanting to make all these changes and come home strong.
Yeah, of course.
Of course we were going to have an opportunity to be tested in all of what we were thinking and experiencing together. And so I just appreciate that you were willing to pick it up with me and keep going and encourage me.
Well, and I appreciate that you did the exact same thing, actually, that you, because there's been times in the past that you would hold on longer to, not to the fight, but to the effects of it.
Yeah.
And you surrendered that to the Lord. You said, okay.
Yeah, like, we were able to get up and still go and still have a really fun time.
Well, we reconciled.
Yeah.
And then we were able to get up and go. I wanted to highlight that. We did reconcile. And so that's the key to all of this. So, yeah, we did have, it was an awesome trip.
Yep.
Even though there was that one day right in the middle. It was literally right in the middle. It was so, it's so crazy. So perfect.
Right after that, I don't know why I feel the need to share this, but it was on my mind because we just went to this homeschool prayer night to kick off the school year. And a friend of mine asked me, so what was your highlight from the trip? And I was talking about just all the different places we went and how beautiful it was. But when I really thought about it, in Glacier, I said, you know, I overcome a really big fear that I've had for a long
time.
You
did.
At least specifically to that national park. But I have a fear of heights. And we tried like 5 years ago to go on the Road to the Sun and I had Aaron turn around because
if you don't know what the Road to the Sun is, it's 50 miles through Glacier National Park.
But like really up high, but windy
like
turns.
12 miles of it.
Cliffsides.
Is a barely a 2-lane highway with a teeny wall next to it going down a sheer cliff. So last time we tried it, we got like a quarter mile in and Jenna was like,
maybe less
nope.
than that.
And I had to turn our huge van around on this teeny tiny highway. I had like a 50 point turn while everyone's waiting for us. But we went this time and
I still survived cried, it. But I survived it. What's funny is when I think about it now, just that beginning portion was probably the scariest.
That was the only part that was scary.
Halfway through it, the rest of it wasn't so bad.
Yeah, I would imagine it's like 5 miles of scary road.
There was still parts of it that I felt like I kind of lost my breath and had to close my eyes. But it was really beautiful and it was worth the excursion. My kids think I'm really brave. So that's cool.
And then the next day we did it again and you had no problem.
Yeah, I had no problem.
You're like, why was I so afraid of that?
I just think it's
face your fears, my friends.
I think that it's cool when we can face hard things, not just like what we were talking about with our marriage, like when we encounter things that, you know, can scare us or cause lies to get up in our heads and frustrate us, just to trust in what God's doing and to pray your way through it. And I did pray my way through that road, like getting to the top of that. And it was super fun. So yeah, I guess I don't know why I wanted to share that, but I just thought it would be fun to end with.
Well, what we're going to end with though, is what's coming up, what you listeners and viewers, if you're like watching on YouTube, what's coming up on the podcast? Because we got some things coming up.
Before you share that, I just wanted to quickly share that, you know, I love writing. It's always been where my heart's at. I do the podcast for Aaron. I love to write. And a friend of mine gave me an opportunity to write recently a brief article. If you want to go to nowthatwearefamily.com, I think you can pre-order
the fall.
It's a fall magazine and it's so encouraging. I saw their last two and it's just really great encouragement for families, for moms, for moms who homeschool or don't. It's just,
you can get the links to that in our show notes to check it out, because she'll have an article in the fall edition.
Yep.
And also, lastly, we want to encourage you to make sure you're subscribed to this podcast, because Jennifer is going to be on more regularly. I've heard the requests. You guys want her back.
I'm trying.
I'm going to bring her back.
I'm going to be proud every time I make it.
So we actually are going to be going through our marriage after God devotionals, husband after God and wife after God. And we're going to be taking the content from them and expanding on it in content and episodes for you. Mm-hmm. So make sure you're subscribed. Make sure, guys, the only way this podcast is going to grow, the best way is by you telling someone about it. Mm-hmm. You telling your friends, hey, listen to this podcast. So please do that. Get your friends subscribed. You make sure you're subscribed. And we're going to be going through our husband after God and wife after God devotionals.
You do not need to have a copy of the devotional to go through it with us and listen to the podcast. But if you wanted that, if you wanted to use it as a way, you know, as a resource to go with your spouse, to go through it with your spouse, you should tell them where they should get that.
But as someone who runs a business, I'm going to heavily encourage you to get a copy of our devotionals. You're going to love them anyway. But get them in your hands. And that way, each week when we launch a new episode, you'll be able to have your own copy. So, yes, you won't need it for listening to our podcast. But
it'd be fun.
You should get a copy.
But you need to tell them where to get the copy.
Yeah. There's going to be links in the description, or you can go to shop.marriageaftergod.com and just look up the Husband After God and Wife After God devotionals. There's a bundle right on there. You can check it out. So, guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope it encouraged you. Jennifer and I are still growing. As you talked about in the beginning, mm-hmm. God's still working on us always. We are not perfect, but we love God and he loves us. And I'm so thankful that he does, because otherwise we'd be so lost. So we just want to encourage you to do that 30-day challenge with us, subscribe to our podcast, and we look forward to sharing the next episode with you.